Well, this morning we're going to go back over to the area that the Lord spoke to me last week to talk about. I don't know when we'll go back to the other. I guess I'm going to eventually go back over to where we were before. But he spoke to me last week to share some things. And like Mike had said about, I talked about last week, you know, you get over in that area. I don't know if it's dreaming or whatever it is. But anyhow, as I know, God's dealing with you. And as I said last week, I've had things going on here for the last couple weeks that God's had going over me, and it had to do with some dreams and things that have taken place over the last couple months. And I didn't know when I was supposed to share them or doing things, but this thing here that I'm talking about, I entitled as your purpose in your heart. This had been going over me for, you know, a few nights. I'd go to bed and go to sleep, and then I would wake up, you know, later on in the night. I shouldn't say wake up, but I know this would come on and I would start. But I'd get a sense that I wasn't really asleep. I would sort of feel like I really wasn't in any kind of deep sleep. And these scriptures were going over inside of me. The ones I used last week from Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and also from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. These things just kept going over inside of me and going over inside of me about them. You know, there were certain things of enlightenment came, but nothing really. I just knew that these things here, that God was dealing with me on them, and I let it go by for a period of time, and then I finally, the one morning, as I said, I was getting up, and I was in our bathroom, I was looking in the mirror, and all of a sudden it just dawned on me, you know, God's trying to get something across to me, but I hadn't asked Him about it. And, you know, I've said this many, many times, and I'm going to say it again and again. Lots of times, the reason people don't hear things from God is because they never ask. They just think if God wants me to know something, He'll talk to me about it. Well, no, He won't. Now, it seemed to me that He was, you know, going over these things in a dream. He didn't determine to give me that information, but He really wanted me to talk, what He wanted to talk to me about, till I asked Him about it. And that's the way God is. You know, the Bible says seek and you'll find. It don't say you're going to get it whether you seek or not. You know, there's some things God gives and gives us part of, but I always found this about revelation. If you don't go after God for it, you don't get it. It don't come. It doesn't happen. What am I really asking God for things? Is there things that I'm after Him to understand or to know? And we want to come to that place where we know. Well, these things here God talked to me about. And I want to share some things about, reiterate a few things from last week we want to look at in these scriptures. And then I want to share with you some example from the Bible that the Lord spoke to me about dealing with this and told me to go over and use from the Old Testament to bring some enlightenment to this. Anyhow, from Malachi, we looked in the areas, because we dealt with the two areas, and you know, I can't go over all of it from last week. You'd have to go back over to the and listen to last week's message. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, God was dealing with Israel, and we need to understand what He was dealing with them about. I talked about it last week, but you need to understand this. Because in the areas of giving, and we're going to give, we talk about money, and sure, there's people that have got in extremes and taught extreme things about money and got into excess, but nonetheless, it's true God wants to prosper us. It's true. But I'll tell you what, and it's like this, if you don't prosper in your spiritual development, money's going to eat your lunch. Money's going to drag you off with the devil, is what it's going to do. Hasn't it done it with our nation? Money's destroying, you know. And there are ideas, if we can just get more bucks, no, I'll tell you, we need some more godliness. We need some more getting in line with God. So if we get a nickel in our hand, we'll do right. That's what we need. Because right now, you know, it's the ideas they're all trying to figure out. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can cut and try to pay bills and do all kinds of things, but if you won't do right with money, in other words, we got to get over and get into get God-minded, get God-thinking, understanding what's valuable in life. There's one thing I can say this, as I've gotten older, thank God, I don't know, I found this is not true for everyone. As I've gotten older, I've found out more about what things are important in life. I thought, you know, that, you know, years ago they used to talk about, as you got older, you know, you did get wiser, but I found out that's not true at all anymore. Because today, it seems to me, as most people get older, they get dumb as a stick. They just get more stupid. They expect to just be taken care of, and nobody, you know, I can go do what I want, and just, they're crazy. But godliness, you know, and that's the whole thing. See, people looked as you went older in age that, you know, you'd get wiser. That's because people had more of a godliness than what they have today. They followed certain moral principles and guidelines, so as they got older, they made some better decisions. Well, as I've gotten along in life, I've learned some things in areas about what's really important and what's not. But if you understand things in the level of their importance and what they are, and you put them in the right category and everything like that, things become a blessing. Money can definitely be a huge blessing. It can be a huge blessing. But money can be the failure of people. Can be the huge destruction of people. So we want to develop in it. As one of the areas in dealing with money, God has a plan and purpose in the earth, and He has a purpose that His people prosper. And the purpose of prosperity, there's really, if we talk about prosperity, in prosperity, we could number things from the area's importance of what's the most important that you prosper. We found out, you know, if you look over to Corinthians, is in the areas of dealing with the areas of money. In other words, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to have sufficiency in everything. Why? So we will have an abundance to give to every good work. So you should have, for your prosperity, is going to go get a job. The Bible says you are supposed to labor so you have to give. That should be on the top. It shouldn't be number one is to pay the bills. If that's number one on the top of your list is to have money to pay the bills, that's all the kind of money you're going to get, money just to get by paying bills. You got to get right thinking with God. If you don't think the right way, you will limit yourself in what you'll believe God for. You'll stay on the bottom of a totem pole, you know. Really, the tithing has kept the church on the bottom of the totem pole because of how they viewed it. Not that it was wrong. Tithing can be a great blessing, but and the way it's been taught and used, it became the thing of, well, if I tithe, then I've just done all I got to do, and this is, well, man, I've arrived. Well, it hasn't. And so if men didn't understand, people didn't understand what the importance of the tithe was. The tithe was not given in the Old Testament to feed the poor. Well, my God. You need to understand, the tithe was about the support of the ministry, and it had to do with the priesthood and the Levites. And that's the you know, any other ministry, that wasn't what the tithe was for. It wasn't for any other ministry. So there was other ministry. So that meant there's offerings to be given. But the tithe was this. The tithe, and we would look at Malachi, and let me just read it because I liked the scripture. God had this scripture stick out to me in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, where God said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." In other words, the only reason you haven't been consumed because I haven't changed. Because if God had changed, He'd have destroyed them. He didn't change. That don't mean that they were doing what was right. They weren't doing what was right. So God told him, and you need to understand this, God don't change. God has a system and a plan that's in operation. God does not change. There's not a different God in the Old Testament and a different God in the New Testament. You know what? Sin in the Old Testament is sin in the New Testament. See, the church, too many and too many Christians, they think grace has changed things. Grace, you know, today you can be a Christian, live totally like hell, but don't worry, you'll be in heaven. You know, people get the strangest ideas. You know, you can just live. You know, it's strange. God has not changed. You and I can approach God through faith in Christ Jesus. But God's as holy today as He was holy in the Old Testament. Bible says this. It don't say without getting born again you won't see God. But it does say this. Without holiness you won't see Him. Woo! That's a crazy verse in the New Testament. But holiness, without holiness, we don't see. So in other words, God has a plan, but we got to follow. God doesn't change. He said this to Israel. He said, yet he's talking to his people. Yet from the days of your fathers, he said, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Now understand, this is in every level. It's like today is one of the things God will call the church back to him, but the church has to return to him before he returns to them. God's not going to chase you down. Figure that one out. Get that in your mind right now. God wants his people, but God will respond to people who are responding to him. That's who he does. And we need to understand, he told them there, if you guys come back to me, I'll come back to you. I'll hook up with you again. 1 John, the first chapter is about that. It's about fellowship with God. It's about if you're in sin, you're not in fellowship with God. He's not fellowshipping. He said, if you're out here and you're not in fellowship and you say you are, you're a liar. If you're living in sin, and that's what he said, if you're living in sin and you say you're not, I'm okay, I'm an alright Christian. That's what some of them are preaching today. You know, hey, you can go out here and sin, all your sins forgiven, and you don't ever have to worry about sin no more. If you sin, you don't have to ask God to forgive you. You're not in any darkness. No, sin's light now. Sin is light now. Oh my God. You can sin in the light. My God, don't wonder our country's so messed up. We got these crazy preachers on TV telling them it's okay to live like hell, go to hell, and you call yourself a Christian. It's being promoted by so-called spirit-filled Christians, and I just wonder about the spirit they have. And he says this, then he goes on, he said, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, and what way have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. And we want to talk about it. He mentions the tithes and offerings. What are these about? And we've talked about this a number of times before, but I want to reiterate again. What it is dealing with the tithes and the offerings he's talking about was the ministry of the temple. When they weren't tithing, when they weren't bringing their offerings, the ministry stopped. The priests left the temple. The temple worship no longer continued. The offerings were not going up daily. They didn't have the morning and the evening offerings going on. People weren't bringing their offerings. And when we talk about offerings, we think about just money, you know, from our standpoint. But with them, they would be bringing, you know, they would have different offerings for different things. Sometimes a lamb, a goat, or something, or doves or something that they were bringing. Those were offerings made before God. The Bible told Israel under the law what to do is of an individual sin, what they needed to do. Go down to the temple and what they were supposed to go through So see, those things weren't taking place. In other words, when they quit tithing, there's no priests down there, there's no Levites to take care of none of that stuff. So it's not happening. Everybody is walking around in their sin. They're open targets to the devil. The devil can reign and rule because there's no blood being shed. The morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices, Israel's in trouble. And God said the reason they're in trouble, they have robbed him. So in other words, the tithe was not something that God gave them a choice about doing. It belonged to him. The tenth, the tithe, which is a tenth, belonged to God. It was his. So if you didn't give it, you were robbing him. You can't rob somebody of something that don't belong to him. In other words, Israel was told by God that the tenth belonged to him. That's his. The offerings that were required for them to be giving belong to him. Now, I'm not talking about offerings of giving. I'm just talking about this is tithes and offerings here. He's talking about the worship at the temple. That was all about worshiping God. That was all about, this is God's prescribed form of worship. God's always had a prescribed form of worship. The church today, they make it up as they go along. The church world today does whatever they want and call it worship. I mean, my God, they'll do all kinds of stuff. They sing all kinds of stuff, and it ain't no worship to nobody or nothing. But, you know, it's the latest, you know, top 10 tune in the church. You know, I get these stupid things and emails from, you know, like CCLI where you do like, what are the top 10 worship songs for today? Like, oh my God. You know, it's like, the church is nothing but a marketable thing. That's all it is. It's, you know, Jesus would have 5 whips and some more guys with him with whips to clean out the church today. You'd have to spend weeks just whooping them, trying to get them out of the place so you could get something going. But it's become marketing rather than, but we understand if you don't want worship to stop, and we need to understand this today. We show God value, or how we value what He's doing from the church and everything else, by our giving. If we don't support ministry, we're working against God. People who don't tithe are absolutely operating against ministry. They're operating against God's plan for worship, of how what God wants to do. We don't tithe. We tithe. It's one of the things we do is about, it has to do with ministry. We'll find out dealing, now we're talking about offerings. I'm not talking about the offerings that they were speaking up here, but there are offerings that have to do with carrying out God's plan for the church. Understand, the church is God's house in the earth. It should be. That's why when we look in the areas of money and giving and doing or things, is the fact that it has to be at the top. God's plan has to be at the top. God's plan has to be. If you want to prosper in God's kingdom, you have to be in God's agenda. You hook up in God's agenda. What's important to God? What does He want? What does He want to do? And see, this is what the tithe was about. The tithe, now under the Old Testament, we'll talk about this a little later, but the Old Testament, they had the prophet. The prophet was not supported by the tithe. He wasn't supported at all by the tithe. He was supported by people giving free will offerings. And if they had good sense, you got involved in that. You got involved in it because the prophet was a preacher. He was anointed of God, and he was a ministry gift, but he was not supported by the tithe. The temple ran off the tithe. The temple did, and that stuff. So this, I know there's some people, the tithe can't be the end of anything. The tithe can be the end of nothing. The tithe is a place, really, if we would say in the church, it's the place where we start. This is the place that we come to and we start at. In other words, we come to doing that, is doing the tithe. But there's more beyond that because God has plans. But God, if God wants to prosper the church and the church wants to prosper, the church is going to have to hook up with God and how God did it. I have studied over the years of looking at from different writers and different ones that they looked, and they estimate that anywhere from 17 to close to 20% would have been average of what a Jew would have given under the law, because there's other requirements under the law that they had to give other than the tithe. And this is one thing, as I'm big on this fact. I cannot believe that Christians today think they would do less. Because if they do, they're a bunch of backslidden buzzards. If under the law you could be more generous to God than you are under grace, it's like Tony Cook used to say this all the time. He said, if you live a better life under law than grace, that's a disgrace. And if Israel did better in giving under law than the church does, and this is why one of the church's problems, the church has been a curse to America. Because of its giving. Now, not everybody. A lot of people, there's people, but the church in general, the majority of the church, has been a curse on America because of their tight wallets toward ministry. They're sort of like, the giving today. I will give to what I get out of. If I don't get out of it, I don't give to it. We know very little about this. It's like today, people, I get so tired of this. They'll come on up there, we're raising money, so like I'm selling cups or something, or I'm selling this, I'm selling that. Like, give them a donation. I don't want the junky, stupid cup. I don't want the cheap piece of candy that I hate the taste of. Go sell some junky Wolfgang candy that belongs in the garbage, should have never been brought around to begin with. Keep the stuff and give a donation. No. Most Americans, if they don't get something, they ain't giving. And they call what they do giving. Most Americans and most Christians never give nothing. Your motive is what God judges you on. Your motive is what God judges you on. I don't like that bit. I mean, to me, I'm going to be a giver. You don't have to sell me a bologna sandwich. I'll give you the money. Dear God, if it's a good cause, I'll give you the money. Dear God, you don't have to give me a sandwich. You can get more done. You know, you got all these people wasting all this time making stuff and doing stuff, you know, because people won't give. You know, I ain't going to go out and walk all day so somebody can get some money to something. Dear God, just write them a check and give it to them. Go walk preaching the gospel instead of... This is nuts. I'm serious. Do you ever think how insane that people are wasting time and doing things? It's stupid. God must sit up in heaven and say, what are these morons doing down there again? To me, you know, people tell they don't have time. Well, man, if we took the church world and how much time that they spend in the raising of money, dear God, dear Lord, they wouldn't be near as busy. But they're doing all this stuff. I mean, all the time it takes you to make all them chicken dinners and serve. Serve a free dinner, take an offering, and have a big time. And I'm sure I learned this when I was in a church as a youth leader. God told me that whatever we did to raise money is what you're going to teach those youth. And if you have them selling stuff, when they become leaders of the church, they're going to sell stuff to get the money. Most youth ministries are out of the will of God in this stuff. They teach those kids. Those kids are going to grow up one day and be leaders of the church. And don't be surprised. They're going to be selling candy bars. They're going to be selling all their junk and stuff to raise money for the church. And the Lord told me, He said, whatever you use is what they're going to do. So you know what we decided we were going to do? They said, well, we got to raise some money. I said, well, we're going to raise money. What we're going to do is we're going to have a dinner for the church. And we had a dinner for the church. We made them a dinner, completely free dinner. Come and eat. You don't have to give a thing. We got more money out of that than if we would have sold stupid tickets for soup dinner. We said, let's go serve somebody. Let's go serve the church. Gave them a free dinner. We gave them a free dinner and made more money. But see, everybody today, they got all this gimmick stuff and all this junk and stuff going on in the church. I can't hardly tell it any difference from the world. Hallelujah, and all that's free. I just preached it to you free. But you need to wake up. If you need to have something, them give you something to get money, you need to start checking your motive. You can find out maybe why you're not as blessed as you'd like to be. You got to stop this stuff. You know, let's get over on the right page. God don't change. I want to be a giver. I want to, you know, if something's right to give to, you know, I don't, this thing, man, if it's worth it to pay $100 to get that thing, then whatever I'm giving to is worth $100. Let's give it to them. It's worth $100 just to give it. So let's do it. Because God will give me ten, you know, give me $1,000 back. So praise God. I'll just get $1,000 out of it. Hallelujah. And the next time we'll give them $1,000. What do you think? But see, people get over and they're thinking, and you get over on that, I got to get something in my hand and say, well, I gave. Well, what's that in your hand? They gave first. You didn't give till you got something. Don't sound like faith to me. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Ed. Glory to God. So these people were supposed to give. Why? God said they were supposed to bring what they're tithe into the storehouse. He said, so he said there may be food on my table. You know he's talking about food on his table? It's the offerings, the burnt offerings and things before God. In other words, the part of ministry. That's what God was interested in. God was interested that those sacrifices take place. Why? He can't bless the people fully till the ministry's carried out. If the ministry's not carried out, He can't do it. God is doing this to bless them. The reason we give is so God can bless you. It's God's design. God is limited on how He can bless me to how I respond to Him in my giving. He's limited. It isn't that He doesn't want to, but I'm the one who limits God or releases Him. It's me. So what do? I find that God don't change. Well, I want to follow the pattern. You know, I'm not going to over teach all about the tithe. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of the tithe. If tithing isn't in the New Testament, then I wonder why Jesus is the Lord of the tithe when there ain't one. What's He doing? I don't quite get it. He's the Lord of the tithe. We tithe. Tithing is a place, really, that starts an area, a foundation of ministry. It's taking care of a foundation of ministry. We start there, but now we don't quit there. When the Lord began to speak to me about these, and then He took me over, He would, in that so-called state of wherever I was, sleep or whatever, awake, in that state, these scriptures would go over me in Malachi, and then from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, then those scriptures would start over in me into that area. And I just want to read to you there, where in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, where it says, "But this I say," now this is Paul talking, he said, "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." Now understand, he is not talking here about tithe. Tithing is an amount set by God. So this can't be talking about tithe. It's impossible. This is impossible. This could be talking about the tithe. Because here it says, the guy who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So in other words, this is a place or an amount that we choose to do. And this is one thing God wanted. God spoke to me about this. And He said, this is the place. He said, over in, He said, you come and tithe. God will bless you over in the area of tithe. But this is the place that you come to that you decide how far you want to go. How much do you want to be blessed? How far do you want to go? And that's what He spoke to me about. How far do you want to go? Where do you want to go in this thing? And He said, you tell people. He said, these scriptures here will determine how far you'll go in prosperity, how far you're going to get out there, how far you're going to extend yourself. These scriptures will determine that. And so, you know, Israel came along with the tithes and offerings. The reason those things were spoken there, that wasn't, Malachi wasn't the end of anything. It wasn't the end. You come and bring the tithes to the storehouse and you guys don't ever have to do anything else again. That's almost been preached like that in the church world, and it's done nothing but limit the church. Randall Greer, the Lord spoke to him and said the number one area where his people, he said, are really walking in an area where they have the least of what he wants them to have in any area. He says the areas of finances. He said his people have missed it big. His people have missed it big in that area because he wants people to have more than what they got, a lot more than what they got, and so. This deals with it. He said, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. He said, he who sows bountifully, he's going to reap bountifully. Now he goes, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Well, now, this can't be tithe. Well, I don't want to tithe. Okay. Is this what he's talking about? And it's going to be all right? It ain't going to be all right. He's talking here about the sowing and the reaping here. He's talking about you sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Now he says, you do it as you purpose. In other words, this is a decision that each of us make. Each of us make this decision. You need to understand this. No preacher can make this. He can't stand up in front of you and say, well, you give this amount or give that amount. Because if your heart ain't in it, it ain't going to work anyhow. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Because we're going to find out this giving is about, what does he say in this giving? Each one gives as he purposes in his heart, what not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, I'm not supposed to give grudgingly. I would give grudgingly, like, well, I got to do this. If you feel that you got to do it, well, that's, you just missed the whole. I'm serious. It's not going to work for you. You can't do it by faith. Anything that's done by faith, you can tell whether you're in faith about it or not. If you don't have any joy about it, you ain't in faith. If you're believing God for healing and you don't ever have no joy about it, you ain't in faith. I'm just telling you, you're not in faith. You come to the place of faith, I'm going to tell you what happens to you. You get happy. You ain't ever got happy, you ain't ever got to faith yet. You know, I didn't accept Jesus Christ and believed I was saved and got mournful. God loves a cheerful, and that word cheerful actually is really, it's the word is the Greek word that we get the word hilarious. If you thought you were going to reap bountifully, my God, it's like Ken Copeland used to say about giving. He said, if you really believed in giving and receiving stuff, he said, you'd get everything you could get your little grubby hands on it to give it. Well, you got to come to the place and understand this. God's dealing with them here. In other words, your heart, you may be born again, but your heart may not be, your inner man may not be developed in the areas of giving. You may have not developed it, you don't develop it in that area. And your heart can hold back on you because you have never trained your heart You got to train your inner man. Your inner man may have a desire to do something, but you keep holding him back. After a while, he'll hold back. It's your spirit, folks. If you train it to hold back, it'll hold back. It'll hold back. If you keep letting your flesh dominate your spirit in the areas of giving, it'll rule it. And after a while, your spirit will be submissive to your flesh. Whatever your flesh wants to do, your spirit will go, okay. You need to understand that. We train our inner man. And if you keep training your inner man over in the areas of money, because he says here, how do we give? We purpose in our hearts. In other words, our heart, in our own heart, we're supposed to decide what we're to do. We're not supposed to do it grudgingly and of necessity. You should never have, or listen to somebody, if a preacher puts you over in a place of an offering trying to make you feel rotten about not giving, make sure you do not give him any money. Make sure you don't give him a nickel. I would love to just stand to my feet with one of those preachers in front of everybody and say, I'm giving you nothing. You're against the word of God. You're hounding people all the time for money. I hate that. And this is why people don't get blessed. People give money and can't get blessed because of the reason that they gave. They didn't give because they wanted to. They didn't do it. One of the things is dealing in the areas. The Lord had dealt with me this before, and it was really surprised because the last time I was down, Randy Greer made this statement about, he said the Lord told him about the areas of tithing. That why tithing doesn't work for a lot of Christians is because they do it by fear. They give to God because, you know, they believe he's going to thump them if they don't. But over on the other side of it, in a sense, they give, and really it's a motivation of fear. It's a grudgingly, you know, they're giving it, oh, I got to give this tithe and that kind of stuff. But they don't look at, understand what it's about. You got to train your own spirit about what this is about. Giving's got to become a thing to you that is an excitement in you. If it's not an excitement in you, then there's something wrong with you on the inside. Now, I'm not saying you're not born again, but there's something wrong. It should become an excitement about giving. It should be an excitement. When it comes to giving, I remember with Kenneth Hagin Jr. talked about something. He says, I never let an offering plate ever pass me without putting something in it. He said, I never let an offering. In other words, but you know, it was his attitude. He liked to give. I get a chance to give something. I don't let it bypass me. In other words, he doesn't have to be compelled. You know, that's why ministers have to stand up and harp on money. They harp on money for long periods of time because most Christians, you can't get them to give till you shame them. That's right. Or put up 50 pictures of starving kids and doing all this kind of stuff. Because, you know, you can't tell them, hey, there's somebody hungry out there that needs food. That ain't good enough. Nah. You got to show them ugly pictures and make them watch a thing on TV that makes you want to puke after you're done. To go ahead and do what's right. Let's take care of the widows and the orphans, but we have to show ugly pictures to get us to do it. Why don't they call ourselves, oh, we're believers? I wonder what the people believe. Because, you know, we got to go through all this. But you need to understand this. Then you're giving out of your emotions, and you did not give out of your heart, and it did you no good. You were moved by your emotion. You didn't give because you purposed in your heart. You gave because your flesh said, oh my God, I just feel so bad. I ate and they didn't. So that ain't the reason to give, because you ate and they didn't. You don't feel like no hilarious giver when you went to the phone and told them you were going to start giving. See, you weren't in any line of faith of what the Word of God said. There was no faith involved in it whatsoever. And this is why the operation of faith is out of the inner man, out of the heart. If we want to step over in this area, we got to develop our hearts. I found out that's what I had really started. I had to start working on my heart. I started having to say things and confess things about my desire to give. Oh, man, the first time I said publicly, I want to give 90% of what I owe away, man, my flesh said, you're an idiot. You'll never get there. That's way out there. Yeah, I'll tell you, it looks like it's way out there, but I will never get there not saying it. I'll never get there being satisfied with 10%. I'll never get there. And I ain't going to get there wishing to arrive there someday. If you don't get it on your mouth, you'll never get there either. You start talking about where you want to go. You start getting on your mouth, how far? I begin to speak about how far I want to go. How far? I want to have a 10% that's so big that I can give a lot of that away too. And that 90's already gone out the door. But see, but we got to set ourselves. You do that by developing your heart. You start developing your heart. You start talking about how much you love to give, how much you can't wait to give. That becomes a thing on the top of your agenda. You got to start doing that. If you don't do that, if you just, well, you know, when I got the money, and then talk, now, I talk about giving. I can't wait to give. I love to give. I like to give. Hallelujah. That's, you know, and get, I want my heart to develop it. For my heart gets so moved in the areas of a desire to give. That's what I want to do. And so that's why I say, see, some people think, well, you're doing that. You know, he's just boasting. Because people that say that is because they know nothing about faith. They don't understand. They don't know the spirit that I operate in. They think it's boasting, and they don't know faith. They ain't got a clue what it is. They wouldn't know the spirit of faith if it ran over them with 18 wheels. They wouldn't have a clue what it was. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk it. The reason I say this stuff in front of people, because now my word's out. I'm going to have to walk there. Now, most people's word ain't no good, so don't matter what they say in public. They can say anything they want. They ain't going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it. I'm heading in that direction. I'm going in that direction. Glory to God. If I go in that direction, I confess that direction and believe that direction, God will get me there. Hallelujah. I ain't going to get there by Ed Gibson. I'm going to get there by God. I love the part because I love verse 8 because of what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says this. Now, I understand. They're taking an offering here because there has been a famine down in Jerusalem. And they're receiving an offering from the Gentiles to send their Jewish brethren. They aren't practicing Judaism. They're Christians, Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem. And they, because of the famine, there's a real need down there of things. So they're taking an offering to send money down to them. Now this is an offering. It's not tithe. And so in this, but see, understand, this is about the church. This is about ministry. This is taking care of one another. The top thing on a notch, you have to know, number one is the things have to be on your areas of giving, is not giving to the world, but giving in the church and giving to bless your brethren and to help your brethren. People don't do that. The church world today don't do that. They're running around chasing the world, trying to give them hot dogs and stuff all the time, and chasing the world and chasing the world and chasing the world. And if somebody in the pew needs a hot dog, they don't get none. They're running around chasing everybody. I'm sorry. What they're doing, this is a giving. This is part of giving has to do with the church of Jesus Christ. Understand, the world today has no need for the church because they can get any of the money that the church has staying outside. They don't look at the church and say, that's some great bunch. I like, look how their lives are really great. They look out there and say, eh, they'll ship it all to us. Don't worry. Just stay at home. They'll give us whatever we need. They'll start up another, you know, thing they call a ministry. I tell people this all the time. I get calls and that stuff. People say, I'm a Christian and you know, I need help. This and that. And I ask them about their church. Well, our church really don't have the money to help me. And I say, well, then what are you going to that church for? They won't help you out? I say, look, you ain't coming over and eating lunch at my house and then go back to that stupid church again. If you ain't going to leave that church, you stay over there and starve. They ain't going, I'll say, folks, I'm lying to people. Now you stay over there, bunch of heathens that won't help you. You put your money in their offering plate and you come over and want to eat out of my plate? Hold it. People need trained, right? You know, you don't go into one restaurant, eat lunch, and go across the street to the other restaurant and give them the money. People say that's insane. The church does it all the time. Insane. I tell them, you're going to stay in a church that don't help you and then come over and think you're going to suck off of me? Get a life. You idiot. Everybody's so dumb. Stay in a church. They don't help them. Ever heard of anything so crazy? But I like it there. Well, then that's right. Just quit eating and like it there. Dear God, but quit calling me. I got business to do. I got things that are important than talking to an idiot. My Lord. Hallelujah. This will be online, you know. I hope somebody hears it. Dear God, I hope some preachers hear it. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now understand, he's talking about, this is, you're operating now over on this offering side. This is a place where you choose. He said, now look, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. He said, now look, now this is what he said. He didn't say God will make all grace abound to you. I hear preachers say that all that. That is not what it says. It said God's able to. God's able to make all grace abound to you on the level that you operate in your giving. You need to understand. It's on. If you sow sparingly, the guy who sows sparingly, is he going to have all grace abounding to his giving? To the guy who sowed bountifully? Hold it, folk. You know, Christians need to start reading the Bible sometimes and don't pay much attention to the preacher says sometimes. Get over and read, make sure the scripture is saying what they say. He said, God's able to make all grace abound to you. And he said, now look at it. In other words, the grace can abound to you to the extent that you'll always have all sufficiency in all things. In other words, you're going to, everything, in other words, whatever you need of the things, your house, cars, whatever you need to take care of financially, whatever you need of, you're going to have all sufficiency in it. You're going to be taken care of. Whatever you need, God has the ability to put you in that position to where whatever you need to take care of you, and then he takes a leap forward and says, and may have an abundance. He didn't say, have $20 left over to give to a good work. Did he say that? What did he say? You would have an abundance. An abundance. Well, I'm going to tell you there, this right now, I sure have not been operating in an abundance. I mean, I've given a lot more today than I used to be able to give. But to me, abundance ain't where I'm at now. And if you, you know, if you're sad, maybe you feel you've arrived. I don't know. But I don't feel I arrived till there's a lot of zeros on more zeros after those numbers on the checks. We're going to talk about abundance. He said, what will you have? An abundance for a good work now and then. Now, he said, for every good work. I want to be that. Just every time, just write another check. Let's just do another one. Let's just send them another. Hallelujah. Swipe the credit card again. Let's just give them the stuff. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about just charging it. I've told you before, God has sent me, but we use our credit card all the time because we get points. I like that because they give me money to use the card. I don't pay interest. We don't pay interest. We pay it off every month. But I use the things and we run the things up, put as much stuff as we can on there that we're doing. Why? So I get points and they pay me for it. You know? I mean, this month we'll have $100. They're going to pay us $100 this month. $100. They're paying me $100 using their card. Don't bother me at all. I'm in the business. You know, people want the world's money. Learn how to use it. You know, these preachers tell the people out here not to borrow money. If you're going out and getting a new car and they will let you buy that car with no interest, you buy that sucker and use their money. You keep your money and go invest it and make you some money and use their money and drive their car. And you'll even have your name on the title of it. Dear God. Use sense. We talk about getting a hold of the world with money. Use good sense. Let them have that. Let them hold the note on the thing. You don't pay nothing for it. They hold the note for you. Oh, take your money over there every month. Throw it over there to wherever you're going to use your stuff for. Make some more money off of it. A lot of people are doing dumb stuff. You know, out of the idea, well, I don't want any debt. Hallelujah. Well, you better think twice. Because if you can afford to pay for that thing, I mean, use that money over there. Make you money. My word, the world would offer me a car, says, here, you take this car and we're going to charge you interest. You got it, buddy. We're in the world. Well, they're acting godly. We're to lend money without wanting anything back. Huh. A lot of preachers, they don't know God very well at all. They say a lot of things. They ought to read the Bible sometime. They get in their areas of thinking. I'll tell you, be smart. World wants to give you money. Use the world's money. They want to use. Okay, we'll take it. We'll use it. Now, I'm not talking about going out here and borrowing money you can't pay. You know, people do dumb things. They go out and buy things. You know, I don't mean because a car is zero interest. You go buy a car you can't afford to make the payment on. That's going to be downright stupid. But learn to use their money. There's people who get downright rich following those things, doing them. And, well, they make sense. And, if you do it, let them carry the money and you turn around, use your money and go invest and you end up with more money in your pocket. Hallelujah. But God wants you to have an abundance so you can give to every good work. Now I want to show you over here. Go to 2 Kings. This is what the Lord spoke to me about. Came to me when the Lord was talking about these, to look at these things. And here is a person. We're going to find and look to a woman, a Jewish woman, who operated over in this area. Because now we know as a Jewish woman, she would have surely known what tithe was in giving tithes. And I want you to go to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, because we're going to find out that in giving, in this sowing, how it paid off over the years for this woman. We have, now understand, these things are in the Bible. The principles on the areas of giving and that stuff do not change one iota from New Testament to Old Testament, New Testament, back and forth. If they do, then there should be a place in Scripture in the New Testament that tells you it's different. And there's no place in the New Testament that tells you it's changed. The principles all work the same. The principles always follow the same thing. Follow the principles of the Word of God. Now I want you in the 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem. He said, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. He said, so it was. As often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there at a table, a chair, and a lamp. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Now, I want you to understand this. When we deal with this thing, and look at this situation. This woman came along, and it says she was, it says a notable woman, it says in this translation. The literal word is great. There was a great woman. Now, I don't think from the standpoint of looking at her, she was some kind of great person in the community or where she lives. I don't think so. I think there's more of an emphasis about what she's doing here. Because you need to understand the women in their culture, they didn't have any standing. Now, you were married to the man. I mean, the woman didn't even inherit the property when the husband died. What they would do is the eldest son would get the most major thing of the property, and he took care of his mother. That's what they did. I mean, that was their culture. You know, Jesus sort of changed that culture. Jesus went out in the ministry. He didn't do what, you know, everybody else did. The Jews, and you need to understand, people need to understand that about governments. Not everything that the Jews did in their line of government, even though God allowed them to do it, and he didn't seem to bother God that that's the way that they wanted them. They could choose some things. That didn't mean God chose that that's the way it should be done. You know, we go over to the New Testament. You know, the New Testament doesn't teach against slavery. Actually, it teaches how a Christian who's a slave is supposed to act. And how a master, a Christian master who owns slaves, is supposed to treat them. But then what do we care? That's only the Bible. The church has their philosophy. The church world has a lot of their own ideas today, and they don't know how God views things or thinks about things. They have no clue. I'm not for slavery. Ain't nobody I want to own. I got enough trouble. Not owning people. My God, I had to be just would work for you. It was bad enough. Much less owning them. Oh, my Lord. I don't have to take care of them. But anyhow, this woman identified something. The fact she recognized that this prophet was a man of God. This is a man of God. So in other words, she's following after. She knows about him. She knows about his ministry. This is a man of God. She didn't say this is a preacher that just comes around down here, you know, looking for a handout. We don't know that he'd come by there. She, in fact, it talks about her taking a hold of him. And you know, in other words, she got him to come and eat. He didn't come looking for lunch. So he said he'd always pass by. He said he would turn in there to eat some food. And really, if look what it's talking about, it says him turning in there. If you look at the literal, it talks about someone laying a hold of somebody and bringing them in. That's what it's talking about. So in other words, she invited him in. So, in other words, now we need to understand this. This is dealing about sowing. This woman recognizes what God's doing. She recognizes here a man who's anointed by God, whom God's using. And what did she say? So what did she do? She wants to get involved in what God's doing. Now, we don't know, as we'll find out, it doesn't seem that she has any kind of ulterior motive other than this. God's in this. I want to be in this. See, and we're going to find this out. One of the things God taught people and taught us about giving and the fact of God wanting to bless us back. But we should mature to the place that that's not the motivation of our giving. Our giving should be because it's the right thing to do. We should give. It shouldn't be all that, I'm going to give because I need some money. See, lots of times as preachers have done, he said, well, if you need money, then we'll have this offering and you put in here. Really, I personally believe that's a wrong motive. There's nothing matter with giving, God giving back to you. I can have faith, but I give out of this. It is the right thing to do. Giving is the right thing to do. You know, Jesus talked about giving to somebody who couldn't give back to you. Talked about, you know, doing something, you know, invite somebody for a meal that can't, you know, pay. Do it. In other words, there's an attitude about it. This I know. God will take care of me, so I can do what's right without the I can keep my motive because this is the right thing to do. Whether I get anything from this area or not, it doesn't matter. God will take care of me. He'll look after me. I can do what's right. And so you want to pick, that's the motive that you want to have. That's where the joy of it is. If it's always a business deal, you'll never be happy. God's not some business deal. It should, the joy of giving is praise God. When you have more than abundance, you have this big abundance, you give it, and you know, if something don't come back, it didn't matter because I got such an abundance. I did it out here because this is the right thing to do. But one thing we know with God, if I'm walking right with God, I can ask anything according to His will and I'll get it. So, I mean, and it comes down to about me. What I need, I can get. So my giving, it's not about getting. My giving expands. If I get a heart of giving, loving and giving are in the same category. Your love expands and you just love to give and it just gets bigger and it'll make you happier. That's what, it just expands you. It does. It makes you a person. Now, of course, I believe you can get, the Bible says I can ask anything in His name, He'll give it to me. So it has to be. It has to be that I can ask. So if when I need whatever I need, I can get that. That's no problem. So my motivation for giving, I don't want it to be because of getting. Now they taught it. No. Understand, it wasn't wrong to teach from that level because babies have to be brought in to understand how the system works in giving. But as we develop in it, I shouldn't be 20 years into Christianity and still giving just to get something. So you have to do what's right. You might start off down there in that bottom part, but as the love of God grows in you, it comes to things of, man, I want to give. Is it more blessed to give than receive? Well, if it is, then my motive can't be to receive because then I'm operating on a low motive. Now, God blessed me on that low motive starting, but I'll tell you what, I can't play that game today. I could do it back yonder because I was learning, I was the kid, you know, and you learn. But today I know better than that. I know I need to do right. Whether there seems any motivation for Ed to do it all, you do right. If this is the right thing to give to, then you give to that. Or if this is that, you do that. This woman saw something, and you know what? She starts off, and we're going to find out her heart wasn't to have any certain thing. She turned around and did it. She said, you know what? This is a man of God. In other words, she recognized God had a plan in that man. She recognized the fact, is number one, this is God, a man that God is using for our nation. This is God's using him. He is God's plan for our nation. Well, if I'm living here, then he's part of what is part of my blessing, part of whatever. And she stops and says, you know, this is a man of God. You know, he stops by here to eat. We need to have a place here for him to come when he can come by here any old time he wants to. When he's passing through, he has a place to stay. We need to do that. We just need to do that and have it. And so she went to her husband, wise woman. This guy had a remarkable wife. Number one, she recognized spiritual things and she responded to them. Hallelujah. It wasn't like she was living in a society that would have, you know, wanted them to. You know, we got women's rights in our nation, and it's led women to become more carnal than spiritual. Women are far more carnal today than they are spiritual. And they did it on the things of women's rights. And it didn't help us spiritually. It didn't, because to motivate. Here's this woman. This woman, you know, she's supporting God's man. She's got. She knows what's going on. She's being a blessing to her nation. I mean, this woman, she's operating more from a spiritual standpoint than probably most people around her. But we're going to find the payoff of this thing because she follows the plan of God. So she turns around. Let's build him a house. Well, the husband must agree because it was built. They did this for him. Now, I want you to see, because the Bible says this. I want to understand, because there's a principle. Jesus said this himself. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. He said, whoever receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In other words, the reward. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. In other words, she recognized the ministry of the prophet in him. And she responded to that prophet's ministry. She responded to that. How? She didn't respond it. Well, hey, let's get it. We need more money, honey. Let's do something for the prophet. No, she said, she just saw this is God's doing. This is God's doing this thing. Let's take care of God's man here that's carrying out the ministry. And you're going to find the focus is about, this is why, you know, the money in the church needs to first be focused toward the church of Jesus Christ and its people and not the outside. I believe in helping the outside, but I believe it needs to be focused more toward the church from the standpoint of getting a blessing one another, helping one another, being a blessing, to recognizing the carrying out of ministry. It's important to understand that. She understood that. Now listen what goes on. Since it happened one day in verse 11, happened one day came there, turned into the upper room and lay down there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. He said, when he had called her, stood before him, this is him speaking to Gehazi, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Now I want you to see this. This woman has asked for nothing. Now the ministry. Here's one of the problems we have today with ministries. Most ministries are takers. Most ministries tell you to give, but they're takers. Of what can I do for you? He said, look, you've done all this care. Now, we don't know this, and I don't really personally believe it at all, that God told him to do a thing. He is responding toward what's doing what's right. You want the anointing to work in your life? Do what's right. Do what's right. He just turned around. It's one of the things he just turned around and said, no, look, what can I do for you? What can I do for this lady? What can I do to help her? He says, do you want me to speak to you on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She said, I dwell among my own people. In other words, hey, look, no, everything's cool here. This woman, she's over here in this area. She's not asking for nothing. She has nothing. He goes, look, now understand the prophet had a lot of influence with the king and with the commanders of the army. You know, this prophet did, because, you know, he was pretty powerful. He called down fire on people and stuff, so he was pretty well noticed out there that this man got power, and people, when he spoke, E.F. Hutton listened. So he was very powerful. Now, she has the ear now of the prophet in the land. And she said, no, we're good. She's not after anything. She's blessing. She's giving, 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 giving. But you know what? She's going to let God. She's going to allow God to step into her life like he wants. See, sometimes we get out there with the idea, God's going to move for this lady. She says, so he said, what then is to be done for you? And Gehazi answered. Now, so this is Gehazi. Gehazi says, actually, she has an old son and her husband's old. That's an important thing. You need to understand, I don't care how wealthy her husband is, with no son, she don't get any inheritance. She don't get nothing. She didn't even bring that up to the prophet. She didn't bring it up to him. Didn't say a thing to the prophet. She's telling him, I'm all right. In other words, she's looking at the fact, look, I got family and stuff. People take care of me. I'll be all right. I'm okay. She's not going to sit out there. She's not going to push her. She didn't push her need. She's taking care of the prophet. Gehazi said, hey, look, her husband's an old man. In other words, it ain't going well there in the bed. This lady hasn't got any. She has no kids. She doesn't have a son. It's a huge thing. So he tells us, it says, and he goes on to say, he says, then he said, so he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. She said, hold it, hold it. Don't tell me it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. He said, do this. Well, we find out, it says, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come for which Elijah had told her. I want you to understand this. You need to understand. See, a lot of people don't understand sometimes why things don't happen through them as a Christian. You need to understand this. As you develop, and if you will develop properly and learn to walk right before God, there's things He will allow you to say and to do. And it will be done on your word. The Bible says it. The Bible tells us about Elijah. Does it say God made it rain and God, you know, caused the drought? The New Testament tells you Elijah prayed and stopped the rain. Elijah prayed and the rain came. We don't know much about this today. They don't talk about it because the church generally puts everything in God's hands. Everything's thrown over in God's hand. Oh, if God allows it. I don't see how they teach, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. And then turn around and talk. Say that. I learned this as a young Christian. I learned this as a young Christian. I've talked to you guys about it. When the Lord would say to me, well, what do you want done about it? I'd ask Him about a thing. Well, what do you want done? He said, I'll do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you say about it. Whatever you want done, I'll do. See, God wants us to come to the place and see this prophet is, it was determined to bless this woman and He's going to do it. You know what? He knows this. God will back up whatever He says. Why? This woman has sown to Him. God is going to will bless this woman through the prophet. He'll bless him. See, it's a powerful thing. It's a hugely, hugely powerful thing when you're like, say, hooked like she is. Now, she did this. Now, we go on. If we go on to read this, I'm not going to read down through the whole thing, but we find out what happens. This woman has the child. The child grows up. If you read verses 18 through 24, the child ends up growing up, ended up dying. The boy's out with his father in the field, and he ends up dying. And what's the woman do? She calls on the prophet. She goes, she took, not, but see, here's one thing. She knew this. He's a prophet of God. He is a prophet of God. She has sown into what God was doing. She knows this. God moved through him and got her a son. A son she didn't ask for, but God gave her a son. But she said, God gave it to me, then God's going to have to raise him from the dead. But don't understand this. She recognizes the anointing in the man. See, most people, they look at a minister. They look at the person. They're trying to follow the person. You need to understand, because this is what, many times people in ministry, and I want to just, you know, like they make this saying, and it's very true. They say, God usually puts the person you need in a package you don't like. Everybody wants this nice, you know, you get this nice, sweet minister on TV who'll say anything you like, and man, people will send him checks like crazy. You get a guy like Smith Wigglesworth and you put him on TV today, my words, they'd do everything, the Christians would do everything they could to get him off of television, and yet he'd be the most anointed guy of the bunch. We want all this sweet talk. We want all this sweetness and everything else. This woman didn't recognize. Elisha's not exactly the coolest guy. Elijah won't even talk to him. He sends Gehazi to do the talking. He doesn't play up to people. Oh, man, if you're in a ministry today, you've got to play up to people. You know, you got to, oh, whatever hoop they put up there, you've got to jump through it for them to keep them happy and nice, because then you're a good minister. She recognized this is the man of God and God is using him. She turns around, takes that little boy, puts his body up on the room on the bed where this guy sleeps. She goes down and tells her husband, you know, get one of the guys and a donkey. We going to town. We going back, get that boy and bring him back here. She's planning on having a miracle. God's going to use the prophet. Is he going to use it because it's Elijah? She knows the anointing of God. She knows the anointing. She understands the anointing of God. Elisha doesn't do what he does because he's Elisha, the man. He does it by the anointing of God. And she knows, the anointing of God gave me a child, now the anointing. But understand this, she qualifies. She qualifies. She's been sowing into this thing. She's got to have a right to reap from it. Many people today are trying to sow, they're trying to reap from things they never sow into. They're trying to reap from ministries. You know, they'll watch a ministry and tell you how wonderful they are and they love their teaching and never send them a nickel. I will tell you what happened to me. After a while, you won't get any revelation. You'll hear things and say they're wonderful, but you will never get help out of it. You'll never get anything for that anointing. If that anointing is good, then give something to it. Sow something into it if it's good. Sow something to it. Give it something. Don't eat free. These people that are eating free all the time, shame on them. You don't eat free. You don't go to restaurants and eat free. Why would we treat spiritual things as common? You can't do that. People run around trying to get every. We have this attitude, and it's the world's culture in the church. Everybody's trying to eat free all the time. You know? I don't care how many Keith Moore tapes and things and there are out there that are free. You better be sending him a check if you're listening to him. If you ain't sending him a check, shame on you. You send him some money. You ain't got no right eating. I don't believe in that freebie stuff. I'm tired of it. Everybody wants to eat free today. That's why we got a lousy country we got with all this craziness going on. It's a welfare mentality. People in the church think that's the place it ought to go on. You know, it's like my words. I get stuff, I can get things free, but I don't do it for getting it free. You know, send them, if you want to listen to their stuff, send them something. My God, they fed you. You know, send them, say, you know what I mean? If you don't have a lot of money to send them, just send them something. Do something good for them. Put it out there. Hallelujah. But anyhow, this woman, well, anyhow, she gets her son raised from the dead. The Lord spoke to me about this, about the things that happened. He said there's four things. He said this woman and her sowing, it did four things for her. She turned around and built that place, and the first thing that happened, she got a child. The second thing, that child died and was raised from the dead. He said, this is about sowing. He said, about give. This is the areas of giving, where you know, out of your heart. She's responding. She's responding to something God is doing. She's sowing into what God is doing. And she's now reaping from what God is doing. This is what happens. What God's doing is this woman, has she chased after the stuff? She's never chased after none of it. She didn't chase after it. She's been out here walking. She's a woman of faith. She's walking by faith. She was given. She just gave because it's the right thing to do. God turned around and blessed her. God just showed he wanted to take care of her. She learned from that God gave me a child. He sure wants a kid to live. She ain't like most of church where, well, God took my kid for a reason. You know, he wanted another little star in heaven. Like, oh my God. No, God gave her a child. But now, in 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, if we jump over the 8th chapter, I want to read to you here because now this is years later. This is years down the road from this thing. You know, we've had years pass from the time she had the child. We don't know how long it was between the time that that they built the place and the prophet's coming. But we know there's a span of time. So God blesses her. God does another. Here, now look at this. So here she is in her giving. What is God through the prophet? Why? What God's going to do in the land, he's going to tell this woman who has been sowing into the prophet's ministry, the prophet's going to let her know what's coming up in the future. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then Elijah spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, and your household and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. Well, we find that the woman turned around and she left. She moved out, moved away. She obeyed. Now, here, look. This woman is sowing into this thing. She started off sowing. Now, when there's trouble coming on the land, God, that same prophet, what? Don't say you go in and told everybody else about it. But who's sowing into it? That's one thing. It's like Randy Greer. He's more sense of a prophet than most prophets I ever know. He said, everything God brings through me ain't for everybody. He says, it's for the people who support me. He said, there's a lot of things that I say, and he said, they ain't for everybody. He said, they're for people who support me. He said, God, don't me. Why? Because the people who don't support it treat it like it's nothing. They hear it, say, oh, that was good, but they don't take any. But people who support it take it as being profitable. That's why you got to treasure the things of God. If you say it's good, you got to treat it like it's good. You got to act like it's good. You don't give money out to everybody else and everything else and leave the things of God alone out here. And you'll dump more money into other stuff for the pleasures of other people and things rather than taking care of God's work. That's got to come out. We got to get it moved in the right way. But we find, look at the blessing that comes out of this. The blessing comes out. This woman is warned about a drought. So she moves out of the area. Now that's not enough because of what God did with this woman. She moved out of the area. But we find out that this, let me see where this is at here. We go on to read this. She moved into the area. But there's another blessing that comes from this thing, in this same thing, is because, and this is number four. Now this is, so it shows us number four that comes out. Now this would be 7 years later. Now 7 years later, what she did for the prophet, it's still paying off. It's still coming down the road to her. Now, the law, the way they had it there, when land was abandoned for 7 years, they took it. That was part of what they did under their laws and rules. They took the land. So she's gone for 7 years. The land hasn't been laid idle because we find out that somebody else has been using the land. They've been using it, whether the king took over any land that was abandoned or anything like that. Probably they did. They took it over. But we find out, it says, in that same 8th chapter, it says, so the woman arose, he said, and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, I want you to understand this. This woman, we know that, because when the man of God spoke, when this prophet spoke, she believed it was God talking and she obeyed it. Here's what people do today. They'll get the opinions and start writing to all kind of ministries and asking opinions. What do you think about this guy? What do you think? What do you think? The only reason they do that is because they don't know God. They don't know what God's saying. I ain't got no clue. They're following the opinion ball. You need to understand this. There's some things that you can find in the Word, but you better know when the voice of God is talking through somebody, because you might not find it in the Bible. They couldn't find it in the Bible anywhere. Said there's a famine coming. They couldn't go back and get the first five books of the Bible and get the Pentateuch out and look to say, what year is that? Is there supposed to be a famine coming down here? They can't. Why? You have to know it's God. See, she knew that he was a man of God. She treated him like he was a man of God. God moved through it. She obeyed. If she wasn't a person to obey or pay attention to it, why would God even bother talking to her about it? Some people wonder why God don't talk to them about things, because he's tried to talk to them about stuff, but they won't honor things. This woman has. She moved. It said, it came to pass that at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines. She went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. It says, the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. It says, now it happened as he was telling the king now how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. This is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Now I want to tell you, this was a lucky happening for her, wasn't it? My God, this woman is so lucky. She just happened to be, this conversation just happened. This is payoff. This is payoff. This is a person who sowed bountifully. Who is this bountifully reaping? Now this is wonderful, because listen, it says, and when the king asked the woman, She told him, so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. She got all the profit off of everything. She ain't even living there. She ain't worked them fields at all, and she's getting the profit for 7 years while she's over in another land outside the famine. So bountifully, reap bountifully. Look at this thing. Look at all the years this has paid off. We don't know it goes. We don't have nothing written in Scripture beyond these things concerning her. But the Lord gave me this, and He said, look, when a person begins to sow, and this is you just don't throw your money out there to anything and everything. But we need, as a church, well, no, we need to be so. When we have things that God is doing and He's put it in our path, we need to start sowing into those things that God is doing. We need to start that. We put into it. Why? Look what this woman got out of this. All because she said, you know, it's a man of God, you know. He comes by here, you know, he needs to be able to eat, have a place to stay. He needs to, you know, he's out here doing God's work. Let's take care of him. She just saw what God was doing and responded. Look at the payoff that it did. You know, some people say, well, you know, maybe she had more money, she could do this. But we found out over here, I purpose in my heart. You know, maybe I couldn't afford to build a room onto it, but I can always afford to do something. I always like what Ken Copeland talked about when he said, one meeting, he didn't have anything to give, and they gave him a pencil. It's one of those little pencils to fill out a card. You know, you were there and fill out a card. And they did the offering. He had a nickel in his pocket. And he said, well, they gave me the pencil, so it's mine. So he put the pencil in the envelope and gave him the pencil. He gave something. I do not believe in this, that there's anybody out there that don't have anything to give. I never believe that. And if you believe that, you lie to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. There's some way or other that you can give or do. I want you to quick look at this one, because this is we back up again back to 2 Kings, there to the 4th chapter, back to the beginning of that. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, 1 through 7, was the woman with the oil. And we know that story about the oil, the woman. Now here we want to see, because we see the thing with the woman, and everybody focuses on that, but why did it take place? Why was she picked out? It was because of her husband. It was her husband. Her husband sowed. This is Elisha. It says, in verse 1, it says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditors come to take my two sons to be his slave. Here's a man, he's in debt. But you know what? All people say, you just don't know the problems that I have. This man over here is serving that prophet. He's doing stuff for him. He may not have a bunch of money or anything to do. We know his debt, that they had no way of even paying the debt. His sons are going to go into slavery. But you know what? He had an investment system going. And that investment he was giving was putting into that anointing of that prophet. And then what happened? That anointing did something wonderful. This woman came and she said, I have this dilemma. Here we see this again in Elijah. I don't believe God said to Elijah, you know, well, this is what you need to, let's have an oil ministry today and start this thing out. We'll do this oil thing. No. Elijah just asked, he said, well, ask the woman, what do you have? She said, I only got a little bit of oil. He said, okay, let's do this. Go out there and you just get as many vessels as you can. See, I believe this with all my heart. I believe God did it at Elisha's voice. This man has served. He has a right to have. Elisha has the right to command it done. There's a lot we don't know about God today. There's a lot that's not talked about God today. We need to look at these things and begin to... We've had all these nice little stories told us. But people don't know why they happen or why they're too much. This man served God and he dies. And what happened? Did he just quit because he died? No, his family's going to reap. His family is reaping because why? He sowed. He's a son of the prophets. He knows about the tithe. But he was over there serving the prophet, doing what he could for the prophet. Sowing isn't just about money. It might be sowing your time to something. But if you'll sow to things, if you'll sow and put to stuff, it will pay you. Let's stand to our feet.